of my salvation. You are the strength of my life. You are my hope and my inspiration. Lord, unto you will I cry. I believe in you.
Lord Jesus once met this young rich man who asked him, what can I do or what should I do to obtain eternal life? And let us see what Jesus Christ response was. The response of Jesus was, you turn quickly to the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 18. And so Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, he answered and said unto him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus looked at him and loved him and said unto him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Take up your cross and follow me. And he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now this was a young man, we can call him religious, righteous according to the standards of this world, who according to the best of his ability thought he obey the Ten Commandments. You see, but Jesus Christ promptly disqualified him there. You see, God has not called us to be subject to law. Or God has not called us to kind of work out some kind of righteousness for ourselves. Because our righteousness as men is like filthy rags in the eyes of God. It's foolishness. See, that filthy rags in the original translation talks about the rags used in those days by the women, the Hebrew women, you know, who were in, you know, in their menstrual period. They used those rags to clean up themselves. So you see, our righteousness as men is like filthy rags. It has got no eternal value. Oh, I pay my tithes. Oh, I go to church every day. Oh, I go out to evangelize every day. I give tracts to people every day. Oh, I pray 10 times a day. Oh, I dress this way, I don't dress that way. Oh, I attend this church or I don't attend that church. Oh, we believe in this or we don't believe in that. Oh, I have a nice family. All of them are baptized. All of them are, you know, go to church and everything. Oh, I do not tell lies. I do not murder. I obey the laws. I obey the word according to the letter, from letter to letter. You see, but these things do not give us eternal life. Our righteousness as men does not qualify us for that eternal life that God has promised to all those who love him. See, eternal life is that life that is in God. Eternal life is immortality. It's peace, it's joy, unlimited. It is that life that is nested in God, that knows no separation, no annihilation from God. That is eternal life. See, and in that life there is no fear, in that life there is no death, in that life there is no change, in just that life there is no poverty, no sorrow, no worries. Everything is beautiful and perfect. Everything is glorious. There's no sickness, there's no, you know, death, nothing like that. See, it's a life of pure glory and excellence. See, but our righteousness as men, our religious ways cannot grant us entrance into God's kingdom. That which can grant us entrance is our ability to get a revelation of what Christ is. Our ability to let go of that which we have acquired unto ourselves as men and to take a hold on that life which the Father is revealing to us today. And that life is the life of Christ, which incidentally is our life. Sell all you have and give to the poor. Spiritually speaking, the poor represents the spirit man, represents the inner man who is invisible. See, it represents Christ. Praise God. So we are now to distribute all that we have back to the rightful owner, which is Christ the Spirit. This is the only way we can enter into life. Praise God. Forget about our good works, forget about everything. Our righteousness, or the righteousness that we seek, is the righteousness that is of God, which is in Christ. For he is already righteous, he is holy, he is perfect, he is the one that has the seal of approval of the Father. So there's no point trying to work out some kind of righteousness. Religion is just a means of trying to work out some kind of righteousness that is unknown of God. God is not interested in your offerings. He's not interested in your many, many works as men. Rather, he's interested that you get a revelation of your true identity in Christ and let go of the falsehood of your humanity. That is all that the Father desires of all of us. Hallelujah. He's pleased only in the Son, because that represents a mirror image of himself. Praise God. So this man, on hearing this thing, left Jesus, went away. He was sad because he had many possessions unto himself. See, many of us want life, but when we begin to see or hear the requirements, we shrink back. We are unable to discern the fact that in reality, if we hold on to our lives as men, eventually we lose it. We are blinded to the fact that we came into this world naked. And definitely we must leave this world naked. See, suddenly we have built the personality of ourselves, the mold and the personality of ourselves after the outer man. And we build a world of our own in this physical, natural dimension, this present age. See, and as long as we continue in that kind of, illusion, our sorrows and our pains and our tribulations are multiplied. Because it is falsehood. See, we spend all our lives trying to perfect that thing that cannot be perfected. We spend all our life trying to mend that thing which cannot be mended. So the more you try, the more you discover how futile it is. And many men keep searching, going to and fro for solutions until they die and they never come to begin to live life. They never come to take a hold of that true bountiful life that God intended for us from the foundation of the world. No need to flatter ourselves, brethren. The time has come to let go of all. Loosen ourselves from our humanity. Loosen ourselves from the beggarly elements of the earth and ascend into Christ. Distribute to Christ. Distribute all to the poor. See, because the poor are those who inherit God's kingdom. Now the poor, in this sense, is the spirit man. Is the man of the spirit. He is the, spiritually speaking, is the one that is poor in relation to this material age. Because not of this age. So that's why Paul, in a letter to the Timothy, says, tell those who are rich in this age not to be proud, not to put their trust, in uncertain riches, things that look as though they are, but they are not. See, the rich are those who live in the flesh in this age. Praise God, and no rich man can enter into God's kingdom. See it? It is like the camel trying to pass through the eye of the needle. Like Jesus Christ says further in, you go down to Mark chapter 10, verse 23. Jesus looked around and said unto his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter into God's kingdom. See, those who have some kind of sense of attachment to this outer world, they possibly cannot enter into God's kingdom. See, you must have a revelation of the fact that there is a real world beyond the veil of human reasoning. There is a real world That is the spirit realm that Christ has come to reveal to us. This is God's kingdom. It's there, present, and it never left us, but we have been veiled by the wisdom of this age. The carnal wisdom of this age has blinded of our eyes, so we became blind of seeing, dull of hearing, and we lost all awareness of the bountiful realm and presence of God. See, right now we've taken a hold on the outer, we've tried to make life out of this world that we live in. See, but as long as we hold on to this world, there's no way we can pass through and enter into the other side. You can't live on both sides. So that's why he says we must pick up our cross and follow him. Picking up our cross means that letting go of our lives as men and taking a hold of the life of Christ, which is that true eternal life that we are called to lay hold on. Paul says in a letter, to Timothy, says, lay hold on eternal life. Take a hold on that eternal life. Lay hold on it. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on eternal life. In another scripture to the Corinthians, he says that the things which are seen are not eternal, they are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That eternal life is that unseen life, that life in the spirit, that life in the invisible realm. And it is real. God's presence is real. God's presence is always there. It never left us and it will never leave us, but we must awaken once more to the reality of that life and enter in by faith, recognizing the mystery of Christ in us, recognizing the mystery of the Spirit in us. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Lay hold on that eternal life. We must let go. Hallelujah. Let go of our humanity. Let go of life upon the earth. Praise God. Now, so Jesus Christ says that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into God's kingdom. And we know that definitely a camel can never pass through the eye of a needle. See, it's just impossible. Likewise, manner, as long as we walk in carnality, as long as we walk as men on this age, we cannot enter into God's kingdom. Now let's listen to what Jesus Christ says for that. And these are the disciples speaking here. It says, and they were greatly astonished, saying unto among themselves, who then can be saved? Aren't we astonished at times when we hear these kind of things? How can we make it? Is it possible to escape this realm of wasting? Is it possible to escape this realm of death and enter into eternal life? How can we possibly do these things? Is it possible? Now, Jesus Christ is here to fulfill these things. These things, he's here to cause these things to be fulfilled in us, not just for us to hear them. So that if Christ had come from heaven and given us the keys of the kingdom, it is that we should enter into the kingdom, not just to be hearers. It is to enter into God's kingdom, not just, to be speculators, not to stand without. But we are called to enter in and lay hold on that eternal life, that flawless life of God, that life without beginning, without end, that life of bliss and pleasures, hallelujah. That is what we are called to enjoy. That's what we are called to lay hold on. Praise God. Let's move on. And Jesus looked at them, verse 27, Mark chapter 10, verse 27. And Jesus looked on at them and said, with men it is impossible, but with God, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Now, are you listening to that? With men it is what? Impossible, but with God, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. So we should choose today, who do we want to work with man or with God? The book of Isaiah says, cease from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. Cease from man. See, Enoch worked with God. Enoch ceased from man, and the Bible says he worked with God. And he found, you know, and because he worked with God, he found the eye of the needle. He found a passageway through the eye of the needle because he worked with God. With men in this world, impossible. But with God, all things are what? Are possible. All things are what? Are possible. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Working with God means the receiving of His Spirit. Receiving of His inspiration, His breath. No more the breath of man. No more the breath of man that limits us to a terrestrial world, that limits us to the beggarly elements of this world. Oh, hallelujah. But with God, working with God, working by the wisdom that is, comes from the depths of God, causes us to break forth into God's invisible realm. Hallelujah. It causes us to break forth into that dimension of unlimited blessings and unlimited possibilities. Hallelujah. It causes us to break forth into that bountiful realm that filleth all in all. It causes us to break forth into life and into singing. It causes us to pass through and enter into a realm and into a path where no man has ever known. Isaiah says the lions have not treaded on our path, neither the birds of prey. See, but only the holy, those who are holy, those who are, you know, the redeemed of the Lord. Now, being holy is not just a matter of, you know, good dressing, not looking at women, not having a boyfriend. See, that's not holiness. See, holiness is walking in the Spirit. Holiness is walking according to the mind of God. Holiness is seeing things according to the mind of God. It's being led by the Spirit of God. That is holiness. Oh, praise God. It has got nothing to do with our outer conduct as men. So you can be holy and walk by the Spirit of God and walk into a bar and take and sip a glass of beer. Praise God. You remember Jesus while he was at one of the houses in Jerusalem during his ministry? A lady walked up with him. I think she was known as a wayward lady, an adulteress, a fornicator. She walked up to him and, you know, cleaned his foot with her hair and kissed his feet and all that kind of stuff. And the people around wondered, what? How dare this filthy lady touch, you know, the Son of God? Disciples were kind of embarrassed. So you see, holiness has got nothing to do with our outer conduct as men. Rather, it has got to do with our being led by the Spirit of God, by working with God. Solely with God, ceasing from men. Because with men, that is working back with men according to the wisdom of this age, according to the wisdom that, you know, that rules this present age, this system, we cannot find the eye of the needle. It's just impossible. It's just patience, prayerfully, patience, yielding to the silent voice of the Spirit, letting the Spirit take a hold of us totally, so that we begin to stand and see the creation from only God's perspective, no more from our perspective. We begin to see our families the way God sees them. And you will discover that, you see, when you begin to see things from God's perspective, you begin to lose everything that you thought you had, or everything that you thought you are. Hallelujah. You begin to see Christ in your children. You begin to see Christ in the people out there. Praise God. So we cease from man. Cease from man. This is the word from his heart. Cease from your carnality. Let go of your carnality. This is a message to you, to I, and all men of this age. Hallelujah. And as you cease, you find yourself in the ascension. As you cease from man, you find yourself in the ascension back to God. Examples of those who found the eye of the needle: Enoch, Elijah. Hallelujah. Elijah entered into beyond the Jordan, and he was alone with the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he was in a solitude place when he was taken off the chariots of fire. On the other side of Jordan means with men. But we have to cross over death. Jordan means death. We have to cross over. Hallelujah. For no man can enter into life. No man can see life. No man can know life. Hallelujah. Praise God. So with God, all things are possible. Now let's go further. And Jesus, verse 28, Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, see, we have left all. Hallelujah. We have left all and followed you. And Peter said, surely I say unto you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospels who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time. Hallelujah. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions, mark these words, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many that are first will be the last, and the last shall be the first. Praise God. Hallelujah. Peter says, Master, we have left all to follow you. I've left my business. I've left the illusion of my life as a man. I've left all to follow your guidance, O Lamb of God. I've left all so that I can realize myself once more in Christ. I've left all my human identity, all my, you know, thoughts as a man, so that I can win Christ. That I may know Christ. Praise God. That I may know the Son of God in me. I've left all. Praise God. It doesn't mean that you just wake up one day and, you know, and tell your parents, or and you tell your husband or your wife, or you tell your children, I'm leaving. Doesn't literally mean this. It might mean that in some rare cases, who knows? Who knows? Nobody knows. But generally speaking, that's what the word means. We start off, first of all, in our minds. We begin to elevate in our consciousness from that of the terrestrial man. Praise God. It's a gradual process, an ascension. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ says, those that have done this will inherit hundredfold in this age to come. Those who have left houses, now this is your house. This is your house. You have to leave this earthly tabernacle so that the Christ can occupy it. Let the Master take a hold on it. You have to leave this land. This is your land. Hallelujah. You have to leave the version of what you thought was brother, was mother, what you thought was, you know, father, what you thought was sister, what you thought you had as relations upon the earth. Because when you walk in outer darkness, in the realm of man, you begin to look at people after the flesh and think that they're your relations. But Paul says that, henceforth I know no man after the flesh, after my flesh, after the flesh, after the carnal reason, but after the spirit of Christ. See, and when you begin to ascend in this consciousness, you begin to discover that we are all brethren. You begin to gain, I gain you and you gain me, because we are one. See, your house becomes my house. Your land becomes my land. If I speak, you speak. If I walk, you walk. Because we are one, we are brethren. Hallelujah. When you walk in the light, you begin to discover that we are one, we are brethren. It doesn't matter whether we are black, we are white. It doesn't matter whether I had that belief once, I had that belief. All these things are just trash of men. When we all ascend, we discover that we are one. There's nothing like Christianity. There's nothing like Muslims. There's nothing like Buddha. There's nothing like New Age. There's nothing like, you know, what they call it, astrology. There's nothing like the ancient religious beliefs. There's only one, and that is Christ, and we are that one. And we are brethren. I am a mother to you. You are a mother to me. For you edify me, I edify you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? So, to gain all of this back, we must let go of that which is earthly. We start off in our consciousness, in our minds. Begin to elevate. Let go of these earthly things. They cannot pay you. See, marry God's kingdom. Marry the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. You gain these things hundredfold. Praise God. If I have riches here upon the earth, it's your riches. If I have some kind of money in my bank account, it's your money also. See, if I have a house, it's your house also. See, brother, we have to learn to walk in love. True love. Not just talk. See, we have to ascend and recognize in reality we are one. All things are ours. All things are ours in heaven and earth. We who are the sons of the promise. We will inherit God's kingdom. So we no more walk as men, holding on to things as men. But we let go of all and realize that all things are ours. We are joint heirs. Praise God. Praise God. In the age to come, we inherit eternal life. We inherit one Father, because there is one Father. Jesus Christ never says that you inherit fathers. He says you inherit Father. One Father. That is in whom we have the eternal life. So we all now partake in that one Father, in that one eternal life. We all are the ones that shout for joy upon Mount Zion. How lovely it is when brethren dwell in unity. It's like the anointing that flows from the head of Aaron down to the hem of his garment, the oil of joy, of gladness. That is where power, joy, liberty rest forevermore. That is where we are called to. Praise God. Jesus Christ adds that the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. It's a return to our original state. Praise God. For we all originated from Zion. But in the transgression, in our dark hour, we descended into the lower parts of this earth. In our dark hour, we died. Praise God. In our dark hour, we lost track of the fact that we are the epitome of perfection of God. We are the express image of the invisible and incorruptible God. That is who we are. The first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Christ is the beginning. He is the first. Christ is the last. He appears as the Alpha and the Omega in the book of Revelation, and he says, I am the beginning, I am the end. That is you and I. That is our identity. Oh, praise God. Before Abraham was, I am. Come in a million years' time, I am. Before the mountains came forth, I am. I reign forever, from eternity to eternity. That is you and I. I live forever. That is you and I. But first of all, we must let go. Hallelujah. Begin to receive of the wisdom of God. Let the wisdom of God permeate us. Let the Spirit of God take a hold of our mind. Hallelujah. Repentance, true repentance, is a change of mind. We no more walk in the ignorance of this age as men, but rather we walk, hallelujah, according to that wisdom that is given to us today by the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ once breathed upon his disciples, receive the Holy Ghost, receive the Spirit of God. That is you and I today. Receive the breath of God. Receive the wisdom of God. No more of men. No more the understanding of men. See, but because that understanding will only give you sorrows and hell and destruction. Praise God. Look back by faith. Stand and look back by faith. Remember from whence you were fallen and ascend back. Hallelujah. Remember your place among the seven stars at the right hand of the Alpha and the Omega and the Omega. Remember your place among the plates. Hallelujah. And ascend back so that you can once more shine as the morning star of God. Praise God. It's prayerfulness passing through the eye of the needle. We should not marvel, because with God this thing is possible. He has given us the key here that with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We have to lean on the eternal invisible arms of God. Lean on him, for besides him there is no other. Lean on him, and with him we can pass through the eye of the needle into a new world of love and bliss. It's possible for you and I, brethren. Let us ascend together in love. God bless you.
You have been my help in time of need. are my hope and my inspiration. Lord, unto you will I cry.
I believe in you, believe in you, for your faithful love to me. You have been my help in time of need. Lord, unto you will I cling. You are the rock of my salvation. You are the strength of my life.